You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. Good morning, Sweat, Snotty and Teary Lot. How are you today? We are having a day of epic fails. The tech has failed all of us. I've had a carpenter show up to do lots of sawing and hammering while we're supposed to be recording this. I've had to beg him to go and get some lunch and leave us alone. Yeah, it's not looking great. Wend, how has your day started so far?
Terrible. Why? To be honest.
You've had the drama. Okay, we need to tell everyone about this because we need the world not to have the same issue that Wendy's had. Wendy, break it to everyone.
I got a text message yesterday telling me there'd been some fraud on my bank account and I stupidly clicked on the link and they've emptied all of my bank accounts. I don't know what to do.
Beyond terrible.
So I'm waiting for the fraud team to call me back. But it's a bit stressful and it's really sophisticated. So anybody click on links ever from text messages because it's just dangerous.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Actually, Simon had a really good tip that I think he'd read it on Money Saving Expert or one of those websites yesterday when I told him about you. He said, the other thing is, if you have a missed call or you can see the number that the text came from, don't Google it and think that if loads of websites say it's safe, that it's safe. He said the spammers themselves are reporting the numbers as safe so that it appears on the internet that it's safe. He said, only ever call the number on the back of your card, which I think is a really good tip for everybody.
Let's talk about happy things with our guest.
Let's talk about happy things. Well, the good news is we have a very, very lovely guest who I've wanted to talk to for ages. And I know that lots of you people on Netmums are interested in her because you all click on any story that we ever write about her. So without any further ado, let's introduce our gold medal winning swimmer and mum of two, Rebecca Adlington. How are you?
I'm good. Better than you guys. I feel really bad. I was so shocked then.
It's bad. Gosh. It feels like there's been a real pickup in spammy texts and things recently. Have you two noticed that?
Yeah, I get them all the time, but I block the number as soon as it comes through. And I'm like, no, I block it. Because I'm just like, I'm not going to keep having you message me.
Well, I was saying to Annie, it caught me off guard because I was taking the kids swimming, yeah. Rebecca. So we were at swimming lessons. And you know when stuff comes through when you're doing things with your kids, you just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll just do that quickly. It means I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. And had I been paying attention, I think I probably would have been more savvy. Blocking the number, good idea.
So easily done, though.
It is. You get really distracted, don't you? Anyway, so Rebecca, any sweat, snot or tears in your house so far today? You've heard about ours.
More poos from the little one and things like that. No, my daughter is loving school at the minute. So she was absolutely fine this morning. Happy as, it's just the little one. He's just in that poo, eat, sleep, repeat phase. So yeah, it's great.
How old is he now?
12 weeks old.
God, it's still tiny.
I know, he's just so cute. I love them at this stage. They're so easy. It's great.
Well, they can't run away, can they, or ask you back. How are you feeling? Because 12 weeks is very early days.
Yeah, no, good. It's been one of those that's like, I think it's easier second time. I think with my daughter, Summer, everything revolved around her. I kind of slotted my life into her routine almost, whereas now I'll be just asked to slot into our routine and what we've already got going and school drop. And then that's like, it's nicer in a way. And I think I'm just more chilled this time. So yeah. And I'm just happy we're out of lockdown. Well, kind of, and been able to go out for something to eat and be a bit more normal, which is great.
Yeah. Cause we've talked to a few people who've had babies in the middle of the really harsh lockdowns and how isolating. Some found it isolating and some thought it was brilliant because they could just bubble up and sit in bed and love their newborn and there was no pressure to do anything. But I think I'd have been like you, get me out, get me to a restaurant, let me do something.
I'm trying to do the maths in my head. So was he born as we were about to come out?
He was born in March.
Right.
Yeah, he was born early March. So 4th of March he was born. So we had about 5 weeks because like kind of the first lockdown was 12th of April. But
nothing much changed, yeah.
No, apart from the fact that I could go swimming with them both, which was lovely and amazing. And they're both now in swim lessons again and everything. But apart from that,
it's kind of changed more now.
Yeah, definitely.
So how was your lockdown, Rebecca? Like, obviously you were pregnant. How did you find the last lockdown?
you know what? The first lockdown I really enjoyed, and I know that's really bad to say because obviously it's a global pandemic and everyone was going through so much, and obviously I kind of feel for that side of things. But actually, from kind of being at home, it was the first time I had ever been at home, which was just lovely, and the weather was amazing, and we just was out in the garden every single day and getting the paddling pool out, and it was just, we kind of all felt like we were on holiday. I know that's a bit bad to say, but we were a bit like,
no, it did.
It was a bit kind of like that. And then November one was okay because my daughter was still at school and we were finishing off. We actually have stupidly decided to do a whole kitchen house extension downstairs.
Bold move when you're pregnant.
It was meant to take like 3-4 months, ended up taking 8.
Yes, that sounds about right. Sounds exactly like my second pregnancy.
And it was just a nightmare. No kitchen from August till December. So we were just...
What did you do? How did you eat?
We had a kettle and a toaster and a microwave in the living room.
Yeah, this sounds exactly like how I did it. Why do we do these things?
I know. So it was just that was set up and it was just microwave meals and toast was all we had, pretty much.
Nice, nutritious pregnancy diet there.
It was horrific. I put on so much weight this pregnancy. Everyone's like, yeah, you don't put on so much.
Look it, ladies and gents, I'm looking at her and she's looking gorgeous.
Oh gosh, no, I just ballooned because I wasn't sure what was takeaway and bread or baby. I was like, oh, I don't know. it's a bit of both. So yeah, we just kind of rolled with it. And then obviously Christmas happened and we got to cook a meal in a kitchen, which was just amazing. And then lockdown happened again. And it was just, this one was really hard. Like just being heavily pregnant, I felt awful. I was so tired towards this pregnancy. I couldn't survive a day without a nap. I just felt drained, and my daughter just constantly wanting to play and do stuff, and we couldn't just be outside because the weather was awful. So it was just, this lockdown just seemed to have dragged, and it was just, yeah, I did not enjoy it. I was just constantly worried as well that my partner couldn't be at the birth. I was just freaked out because he wasn't allowed to any of the scans or anything like that. I'd heard so many horror stories about people giving birth on their own and everything else, but luckily he was able to be at the birth, so that was good at least.
Well, and you had to co-parent and cope with pregnancy and then a newborn, and let's set the record straight, you had to deal with a load of tabloid stuff going on as well, that you were living with your partner but also your ex-partner and your boyfriend and the cleaner and your gran and anyone else. How did that's a lot to contend with. Tell us the story, Rebecca. Talk to us about what the hell went on.
Yeah, set the record straight, please.
My rule in everything in life is do not read the newspapers ever.
I think that's a very wise move.
It's a load of crap. And I just kind of think to myself, every single thing they've ever written about me is a load of crap. So why would I believe anything else that's written in it? Because it's just absolutely mad. But never, ever live together during any of this. Harry lives 10, 15 minutes away, max 10 minutes, probably 10 minutes. He's got his own house. The lockdown rules were that you could still co-parent. So we did. Of course we did. None of us were working. So we kind of rescheduled things. I had her for 3 days. Harry had her for 3 days. And that's just kind of how we alternated. Never once lived together. And it's like we posted one photo that was like an old photo for one of our friends' birthdays of us all together. And then it became this thing. And I was like, everyone's posting old photos. Nobody's got new photos. They're not going anywhere. So I'm like,
Of course, and suddenly you're all living together in some polygamous nonsense.
But you know what? The other thing I found really fascinating about that story was I actually thought it was a really good thing.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, but even if they were, like, it would be a nice thing for summer if everyone was together. Like, I didn't see it as a negative anyway. I didn't think it was a very bad thing to
say. I think it's just one of those that we all were dealing with stuff. And it's like, it's one of those that I get on tremendously well with Harry. We have so much love and respect for one another. He's a brilliant dad. Like, couldn't ask for a better dad for summer. He's amazing and so much respect for him. But don't want to live together. He doesn't want to live with us. And I don't want to, like, in the nicest possible way, like, I want to live with Andy, who's my partner.
I have great admiration for anyone who decouples but still have great love and respect for each other. How do you think you've managed it? How do you think you've come out of it in such a great place?
I think one of them is just we've always kept talking. Like, I think we always had a really good friendship. And I think as hard as it is when you split up and you go through a divorce, and I think it's one of those we constantly kept talking throughout. And it was like, we support each other. So whenever anyone needs any support, kind of, we both are very ad hoc work. Neither one of us work 9 to 5. So we have to be flexible with each other. We have to support one another. And fundamentally, the reason why it works is because we 100% put summer first.
Yeah.
Because it's not like one of us doesn't want to be involved. We both 100% just agree on summer and what's best for summer. And we've always tried to make it so we never just drop summer off at the door. We don't just kick her out the car and go, yeah, go to your
moving vehicle. Bye.
Yeah, we don't do that at all. We make an effort to kind of go in. We have family time all the time. We go on days out. We make an effort to, like, obviously before when we're not in lockdown, to go out for a meal or do stuff together in that way, because we want her to have that. We want it to be that we are going to the zoo together or whatever. And I think it's important to prioritize that family time. And it works well as well. My partner Andy gets on really well with Harry, and they've kind of always had a good relationship as well. And Andy doesn't try to step on Harry's toes. Harry doesn't mind if Andy has to parent Summer a little bit or tell her off. He's like, yeah, you go for it. So I think
it sounds like you're smashing this blended family business, I've got to tell you.
I think you should write a book about it. I think it would do really well.
We definitely had to find our feet. It's definitely not all been rosy and happy, and there's definitely times where you get frustrated and whatever, but fundamentally you have to put your own feelings aside. Like, it doesn't matter whether I'm hurt or annoyed about anything. Summer comes first. You just kind of have to do it.
Which I guess is parenting anyway, isn't it? Like,
oh, God, yeah.
Whether you're with their dad or not, like, if you've had a crappy day, you still have to make the tea and put them to bed and make sure you've got a smile on your face, right?
Exactly. Exactly that. So you just crack on.
So talk to us about Andy, because you met Andy on Bumble, didn't you? And I've got a friend at the moment who's just dipping her toe into dating apps after a breakup. And some of the stories, oh, she's got to write a book, I tell you. So first of all, I want to know if you've got any killer Bumble stories. Was there some howlers? And tell us a little bit about dating as a mum, and is it terrifying? And how did you negotiate it?
Do you know what? I think I'm the only person ever had a good online dating experience. I think, to be fair, I was really apprehensive about it. And we joke because for so long we had two versions of how we met. If anyone asked us, we were like, yeah, we met in a bar. Like, we'd never admit that it was on a dating app. And then after a while, we were kind of like, you know what? It is funny. And it is one of those that's how everyone meets now. It's just,
well, it's very modern. Yes, it's how everybody meets.
It's just the way it is. And I think I was really not strict. I was really kind of right, you've got to set boundaries or rules with online dating. I wasn't going to give my number out to Joe Bloggs if we just matched. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those that we had to keep talking for a while. Anyone that I did match with, I kind of, if you couldn't hold a conversation for like over 3 days, well then no.
See ya. But was everyone not just like, excuse me, are you Rebecca Adlington?
Do you know what? No.
That's hilarious. And what did you call yourself? Like Susan or something?
No, I just put, you just put Becky and then your age. That's all that comes up is like Becky.
And no one realised who you were.
There was like a few people, but very minimal, to be fair, because none
hilarious.
Of my photos were like, it wasn't like that. My profile picture was like me with
the
an
cap
Olympic
and the goggles.
Like,
yeah.
I just put very normal photos on there showing my life. And I didn't mention it in my bio as well. I didn't put like swimmer or what I did, yeah, or kind
have
of
have a few
anything.
Gold medals hanging around the house.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that. I just put like, oh, I like coffee. I love the gym and I've got a daughter.
But you didn't
put,
I love swimming.
No, that would have been quite funny if I did.
I'm a bit good. Just a little bit good at it.
Andy, it was quite funny because I was talking, my like, if most people, to be fair, that I was speaking to, spoke for the first day and then it just, the conversation dried up. So I was like, well, I'm not going to meet you. If there's no conversation, if we've not got any chat, I'm sorry, yeah, we're not we're not going to match. Yeah. And Andy was like one of those, he had no clue who I was. And for like 2 weeks we were messaging. I was like, okay, this guy is like persistent and we've got really good chat. We really get on. He gets my sense of humor. And then he was like, oh, can I have your number? And I was like, no, let's go on Instagram. If you want to move away from the app, that's fine. Let's just add each other on Instagram. And it was then when he added me on Instagram, the penny dropped. I was seeing my
Felt like such a twit.
And what did he say? Like, what did he say?
He was literally like, so I've just seen your profile and you've got Olympic medals. I was like, yeah. And it was just, it was such a random thing because like I hadn't mentioned it. The penny hadn't dropped before. So it was just kind of like a funny moment. And then it was just like, he went really nervous. I could tell that he went really nervous. But then we carried on chatting and then it just became like, he wasn't really that bothered about swimming. He's more of a cycling fan. So I think if I'd have been a cyclist, I'd be like, oh my God, but I wasn't. So he didn't really care. He just loved sport and whatever. And yeah, and then we met up and went on a date in Liverpool, went to Junkyard Golf or whatever. And just straight away, I just felt comfortable with him. And he was the first ever date I went on from Bumble. And it worked.
Oh my God, you have had the unique dating app experience. There's been no fogs.
No, you guys need to become like the face of Bumble. Like they should pay you. This is a great advert.
But I think it's because I was like, if you can't chat, and I didn't just want Tinder's a bit, just, you know what I mean, just one night and just a bit of fun. And because I wasn't after that either, I wasn't going to meet somebody that kind of was showing those signs if I was chatting to you. Like, if you're just going to do those on chats and just want that sort of talk, I was just like, no, delete and go. And I was just not after that. I wanted a relationship. I didn't want just that. With a kid, it just doesn't work. So I think knowing what you want and meeting somebody that wants the same thing really helps as well.
So I have to ask, was it important that he liked sport?
No, not at all. Not at all. He likes football and I'm not really a football fan. I just like, I don't get it. Every game's the same to me. I know people don't get swimming, but I'm like, to be fair, I like it a bit more now. He supports Liverpool, so at least they're good and I enjoy watching them because they are good. But yeah, no, otherwise he's like a cycling fan. He's really sporty himself, but no, it wasn't, not bothered if somebody's not sporty. I mean, I've been retired 9 years now.
But I bet sport must still play a big part in your life. Like you're doing a lot of commentating and stuff. Do you still swim?
Yeah, still swim and obviously take the kids swimming and stuff like that. And me and Andy have done like certain things together, like as in we did a little triathlon and stuff like that together. And we
note everyone, a little triathlon, like that's just like a little walk in the park.
Well, we do enjoy things like that, as in like in first lockdown, we would go out running together and like go out on the bikes and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, it's a bit different now when I got pregnant with a little one. But yeah, we do enjoy that sort of stuff. As long as somebody's active, I'm more bothered that you live an active lifestyle than you are into sport and a sport fan, just because that's my lifestyle. And obviously, I follow the swimming, but he doesn't know anything about swimming.
Do you get jealous, though, when you're commentating? Is there like a bit of you going, oh, I really wish that was me? Or are you just well glad to be sat there in your nice warm box with a cup of coffee, not having to train at 6 a.m?
It so is that way. I've never missed that period of my life. Like, it was great and I loved it. But I think it was just one of those, I was so ready for a change and I was so over that period of my life. Do you know what I mean? And it was just, when I watch the swimming now, I'm in awe of them and I'm such a fan and I know what I'm watching and I love what I'm watching. But at the same time, I don't sit there going, oh, I wish that was me, because I had my time, I've done it and moved on from that now.
I'm guessing though that you're one of those people who isn't just good at one sport. So when you do things like a triathlon and stuff, like, are you winning the triathlon?
Oh no, I'm terrible at everything else.
Because I can only imagine what it must feel like for the other competitors. Like, you've trained for months, you're going to do a triathlon, you get in the water, you look left and there's Becky Adlington like swimming laps past you.
The difference with the triathlon is the swimming's first. So you get ahead and you get a head start, and then actually then when you get on the bike and everyone just catches me up. I'm terrible at everything else. I'm literally like a fish out of water. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, I've got no coordination, no other skill. I'm just I'm absolutely terrible out of water. I'm like, what am I doing?
You were born to be a fish.
Swimmers are not made for land. Like, honestly, our bodies are built so differently. And it's like, yeah, we've got hyperextended knees. We're all over that. We're a bit like, yeah, it just doesn't work. But I at least enjoy it. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. And I think as a mum as well, you need exercise for your me time and to sort of clear your brain, don't you?
Do you know what? I say this all the time. Like, I was talking to my gym coach and I was like, because he was talking about, oh, have you tried CrossFit? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I'm like, I've tried it, but I don't want that. For me, going to the gym is like my hour where I'm not looking on my phone. I've got no kids. Nothing can distract me. And I just want to switch off. I don't want to compete. I don't want to do anything of that. I just want to go to the gym and just kind of not have to think about what I'm doing. Just somebody tell me the exercise and then I'll do it. And that is all I want from life.
So do you still have a trainer or do you just train yourself?
I go to classes. I go to a gym called Hive and it's just, I just love the classes. Everyone's just chilled. Everyone's at different levels. Everyone just does their own thing, like just gets on with it. Nobody's trying to compete with anyone else. And it's just like a little family. Like we all just get on and have a laugh. And it's just like, that's just what I want from classes. I don't want something serious and competitive. No thanks, I've done that.
No, yeah, you've had that bit of your life. You've been very candid talking about your experience with anxiety and panic attacks and the fact, I think it was very brave and very admirable that you've revealed that you've had therapy for that. A lot of that was down to body image, but also kind of abuse basically on social media. How did you come to the decision to talk about it so publicly? I mean, that's a really big thing to do.
Do you know what? I'd not spoken to anyone about it. Like I hadn't told anyone and hadn't even told my mum and dad. I didn't want to burden my family with...
Well, you don't want your loved ones to worry about you, do you?
Yeah, you don't. And also it's a really weird thing to bring up in conversation. It's like, oh yeah, what have you been up to this week? Oh, well, I had a panic attack on Wednesday. Like it's just a weird thing to kind of slip into conversation. So hadn't really told anyone, obviously apart from Andy. And Andy was kind of like the person that I would speak to if I was having one. He would kind of help me through them.
Were they something you've always had or that they crept up on you?
Always had them, but very, very rare and sporadic, always very random, always just here and there, very ad hoc. Yeah. And then it wasn't until a couple of years ago that they became more regular. It was kind of a pattern every single week they were happening. They're so draining when you go through them. They literally wipe you out and you just feel mentally and physically just ruined. And I just wasn't sleeping well. I was just knackered, basically. And it was just one of those that I then went walking with Andy at Christmas. And we don't do like New Year's resolutions or whatever. And we were just chatting about like the next year. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go to therapy. And he was like, what, where's that come from? He was so like random. And I was like, because I want to handle this. This isn't normal. I'm having panic attacks every week. Yeah. I kind of just didn't really know how to address it. And I just thought, you know what, I may as well speak to somebody that knows what they're talking about, that I don't feel a responsibility like I'm burdening them or they're going to worry about me because that's their job. And I was like, I found it much easier going to therapy. And it was one of those that I was like, you know what, there's going to be so many people going through exactly the same and that haven't spoken about it. So I just kind of put something out on social, just going, I'm nervous. I kind of didn't know what to expect. I kind of had these visions of going to therapy and sitting, laying down on a couch like they do in the films. I was like, I didn't want to do that. And it was just, I was just nervous myself and didn't know what to expect. So kind of wanted people's advice and how they found it and kind of everything else. And once I did, it was just amazing, the interacting with people and talking to people that have been through the same thing. And it definitely took me a while as well. Like I was in therapy 8 months, but it took a good kind of 2-3 months to kind of fully admit I was going. Like if somebody would phone me and they were like, oh, are you free tomorrow? I'd be like, oh no, I'm busy, sorry. And I wouldn't say why. Right. Whereas after like a couple of months, I was like, oh, I'm going to therapy. And I actually just felt so much more comfortable because I was so scared of telling somebody I was going and then they would ask me why. And then I'd have to talk about it. And I didn't want to talk about it because then it would give me a panic attack just talking about it.
Right.
So it took a while for then to kind of feel comfortable and actually be able to say, oh, I'm experiencing panic attacks. I've got really bad anxiety. I'm going to therapy. And then actually when I did, it just felt like a weight lifted off my shoulders and nobody cared. That was the amazing thing. Like whoever I was on the phone to was like, oh, I hope it goes well. It just didn't even faze anyone that I was. I kind of expected them to be like, why? And like it be a big thing.
Yeah, to be a huge deal. And actually.
Yeah. But no one kind of saw it in that way. Everyone was like, oh, well, good for you. Really pleased that you're kind of getting that help. And everyone was just like level about it. And I was like, you know what? It's so much more normalised now and it's not this big thing. And
but like, because people like you are helping make it normal, you know, we need people to speak out about it, don't we?
And I think once you do and chatting to the amount of people that go through the same thing, especially parents as well. Yeah. I notice especially single parents as well that like I used to put Summer to bed and I'd just be so anxious because it was the first time of being on my own. Throughout the day, I was so busy and I'm so like focused on her that I'd put her to bed and it was dark and I was alone and I just had everything to think about once she was in bed. And it was like, I was scared of even being in my own house because I was like, oh my God, if somebody came in, I've got to protect. And everything just used to overthink. And it was just one of those that it's nice now I get to put her to bed and I'm like, oh, I'm chilled.
It's work then.
Definitely, definitely worked. And obviously different things work for different people. Yeah. I'm not under the illusion that it works for everybody. I definitely think you've got to find the right therapist for you. But I kind of just did that. I stopped having panic attacks after about 5 months in therapy. That's and then brilliant. It was kind of a decision that my therapist actually said to me. She was like, Becky, I don't think you need me anymore. Like, I'm always here for you. She was like, go live your life.
It's a bit like, can I leave? Can I do that? Can I go without you? So did it change your relationship with social media? Because I know you went through quite a lot on social media. Did therapy help you manage that? Or did it change how you look at social media now?
I think it's one of those that I've always seen the good side of social media, which is why I've never come off. I've always seen that it gives you a voice, it gives you a platform, it makes you interact with really lovely people out there. And especially for younger people that followed me that were into swimming, they were like, oh, I've got a gala this weekend. Will you wish me good luck? I was like, yeah, have an amazing time. And I loved them. They would follow up going, I won a medal. And I'm like, yay. And I like loved all that stuff on social media, which is why I never, ever came off. It was just baffling to me. It still baffles me. I will never, ever understand the online trolls and the abuse people get or kind of comments on the way people look or anything like that. I just don't understand. When you don't know somebody, I'm like, it just baffles me. I won't ever get my head around that. But at the same time, I think being more open and honest, being more authentic in social media really helped me. If anyone clicks on anything of my social media, it's just me. I don't filter or edit my photos. You're not going to see me in a bikini posing and doing all these things on my social media. It's just, that's just not who I am. And I think just being who I am. And then it kind of helped all of those people that kind of followed me that were a bit like online trolls, whatever. They just unfollowed me in the end because they weren't interested in what I was posting. They had nothing to abuse me about because I wasn't trying to do anything out of my comfort zone.
Well, isn't
if you
that
like.
A great life lesson, actually, that the more authentic and real you are, no one can pick holes in you because you're just being you.
Exactly. And I think that's just the way it is. I just found it because it was always about my appearance. And I was always like, what has the way I look got to do with my swimming ability? And I think if I was then to put on photos.
That's so personal as well. When someone criticizes how you look, it's so hard not to take that to heart. Because even when my kids come and say, oh, mummy, that dress looks awful. You're like, oh, all right then. Thanks. And if it's someone you don't know being brutal about you, it's hard to rationalize that because you know they're absolute dicks, but at the same time, it's really hard when it's about how you look and who you are.
It's really hard. And the thing is, you could get 10 really lovely, amazing messages and one terrible one, and you cling on to that one.
Oh my goodness. Do you know, we ask this question about social media of every guest that we have, because all of our guests are high profile and everyone's got lots of social media followers, and everyone says the same thing. Even if you got 9,000 nice messages in a day, it's the one that was mean that everyone says stays with them.
But that's human nature. It's in us, no matter who you are. Even if you were at work and you got 10 good reports from your boss, but one slight negative comment, you would cling on to that. And it's just human nature that we do that. And it's just one of those, especially at the time, I was 19 in Beijing. And it was like, I was so young.
I never realized you were that young. Wow.
Yeah, I was like 19.
You're a baby. And
that is like a kind of a real pivotal age where you're kind of just starting to become a bit of a woman, and
it's peak insecurity age, isn't it? Because you're still deciding who you are.
But also it's very different. If you go into acting or you go into singing, you kind of know what you're signing up for a little bit. You're signing up for fame. But you were just a bloody good swimmer who'd ended up at the Olympics. It's not like you're kind of putting yourself out there as a model or a dancer or a singer. You're kind of like, well, I just swim. Stop being nasty about me.
Actually, that provokes a good question. When you become an Olympic level athlete, do you get media training? Do you get coached in how to handle fame and recognition?
Now.
Okay.
They do now. It wasn't a thing back because social media was kind of quite its infancy back in 2008. So we didn't then. But now they do, which is brilliant. And they do so many workshops now on kind of social media, how to handle all of that sort of stuff. But I wasn't one of the lucky ones to get that. But I think it's just one of those that's why I took it so personal, exactly what you've just said, because I wasn't trying to be anything else. And I wasn't saying, like, I never came out and was like, I'm really pretty and I'm really thin. Like, I know I'm not the prettiest person. I'm not stick thin. Like, I've never tried to be anything else, which is why I just never understood it, because I was like, what? And people were just so dull and boring with it, like calling me a dolphin, a shark, or a whale. I'm like, at least come up with something bloody original, guys. Like,
also, dolphin's quite a compliment. They swim really well.
I'd quite like to be compared to any of those things.
Maybe not a shark.
But also, if you were stick thin and skinny, you'd have been a shit swimmer. So, you know.
We don't see many supermodels carrying home gold medals from Olympic races.
But at the same time, it's like, my body, like, it's kind of taken me until getting a lot older, where your perception of your body completely changes once you have kids and everything else. So now I look at my body and I'm like, oh my God, it's given me 4 Olympic medals and 2 amazing little babies that I absolutely love and adore. Whereas when you're 19, you just go, oh my gosh, I've got a bit of cellulite, and oh my gosh, I've got a stretch mark, and oh my gosh, God, I've got this. Whereas now I'm like, oh, it's another stretch mark. Oh, it's another thing. And you're totally different with it. And even with my appearance, I mean, I don't think I've worn makeup for a year and a half. I've been even worn a bra. And I'm like, I don't care about that. Like, swimmers are just, that's the great thing that sport gives you, is that perception that you don't, like, in swimming pool,
that
I can't
your value
have nice
isn't
hair.
What you look like. Your value lies, and that your body is for other things than just other people to look at.
Yeah, but even like your appearance, it's like, we can't wear makeup, it will just come off in the water. Our hair's in a swim hat. Like, you just become a bit like, I don't care what I look like. I'm just trying to swim as fast as I bloody can from A to B and get a medal. So I think it's just one of those that it was the first time in my life everyone had really like honed in on the way I looked. And I just never understood what it had to do with the sport and everything else. And it was just, it was just a weird time. And it's one of those you can't help. Like, I did take it into the way I think about myself. Even every outfit I used to put on, I was like, oh my God, what comments are going to get said about this? And you just become a bit everything you analyze. Like, I used to get so nervous going on a red carpet because I was just waiting for the negativity to come in.
So I then stopped
going to events. I stopped doing stuff because I was like, I just don't want the stress of, why are you wearing that dress? And you look fat in this. And then, so I was just like, oh, God, do you know what? I don't need that in my life. So I'll just not go. Whereas I've kind of come out the other stage that I'm like, why should I stop going to things? I want to put on a pretty dress and like go to stuff.
What would you do? So A, does Summer show any swimming prowess already? But B, what would you do if she did? Like, because of all this stuff that comes with it, would you be trying to steer her away from it? Or would you still be like, come on, let's do this?
God, no. Swimming has given me way more positives than negatives. I would take the online trolls for all the experience. I mean, I got to travel the world by the time I was 23. Not many people can say that. I met some unbelievable people and it taught me so many life lessons. I learnt more being part of sport than I ever did in school. And that's because obviously I didn't want to be something academic. Obviously, you're not going to learn how to be a lawyer or a doctor in sport. But it gave me so much more life lessons, and I've learned how to communicate, work as a team, everything, like so much more from swimming than ever being in school. So I think anyone part of sport, you'll just gain so much from it. So I'd love her to be part of sport, but don't get me wrong, she is, bless her, she's all over the place in swimming. She loves it, and that's the main thing. I don't care, because she loves it. But my God, she's all over the place. She's got no technical ability. She's just like, yeah, I'm just having fun and just chatting. And
did you show a skill and a talent for swimming like when you were like 2?
No. Oh God, no.
Oh, you were all over the place too. That's heartening. That's good to know.
Oh God, no. I just used to talk so much. Like every single like swimming club I used to go to was like, Becky could be really good if she stopped talking. Like that's all I got. Because yeah, I just used to talk so much. But yeah, I didn't until I was about 10, 11, really get good. It was just that my body, I shot up in height way more than other people. So everyone just thought, oh, this girl's going to be good. Because I was like 5'10" at like 10. Do you know what I mean? It was just like,
I still haven't got there, for God's sake. Right. So talk to us a bit about Baby Stars, because that's about getting kids into the water early, isn't it?
Yeah. So like that's kind of, I'm so lucky, and I do appreciate that not every athlete retires and knows what they want to do. It takes a long old time. But for me, I just knew I wanted to go into grassroots sport. I was like, we have, I think it's 1.1 million kids leave primary school unable to swim just in the UK, which absolutely baffles me. It's like the second biggest accidental death in kids. It's like, it's the statistics around learn to swim are just shocking. Absolutely shocked me. And I sat there at London 2012 and I was like, what can I do? I think I'd endorse loads of people. I tried to get the government to help swimming a lot more. And then I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I need to set up my own. I need to stop blaming other people and pointing fingers and actually do something about it and set up my own program, and just absolutely loved it. It's just been absolutely the best, most rewarding career to go into, from going from being so selfish as an elite athlete to everything being about me and the performance and getting medals to now seeing these kids' faces light up every week going swimming and the confidence they get and teaching life skill. It's just the absolute best. So yeah, it's just a learn to swim program from like 3 to 11. And then this Christmas, we launched our baby program, which was just in time for Albie come in. So now I take Albie as well to baby lessons, which is just amazing.
I used to love baby swimming lessons with my little girl.
It's such
I'm
a
not
special
such a fan of the two of them on a Wednesday, you know, it's the bit of it is, as a mum, you're clothed in a changing room that is hotter than the centre of the sun every week.
Yeah.
And you always get a sweaty top lip. It's just bad.
Oh gosh, especially with the masks on, like I'm just sweating underneath my mask constantly, and I'm exactly the same. You never get over that, and I've spent life in a swimming pool
trying to shower the kids while, like, not, you know, when you're doing like that arc where you're trying not to get yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so I really want to know, what's the optimum age for them to start? And then when can they stop? Because, so I've got 2 kids and one is a really good swimmer. Like she swims competitively and the other one isn't. But can he stop now? Like when are they allowed to stop?
My rule with most things is if they can swim 25 meters unaided and do it comfortably and in an efficient manner, I mean, not struggled and having to keep stop, if they can fully do 25 meters, you're fine. As long as they could save their lives. And the thing is, the reason why we say 25 meters is not because you're going to fall into a pool or a river or the city and have to swim 25 meters. It's just because then if there's a current, they can have the ability. Because obviously, if you fell into a lake or a river or something like that that's got a current, you need to be a strong enough swimmer to be able to swim to shore with clothes on as well. Because obviously, you're not going to be just in your swimming costume all the time, are you? So that's why we say 25 meters. But obviously, if they enjoy it, they can go on. Like, we do stuff that like is rookie lifeguarding. They do like swim fit stuff after, because not everyone wants to compete as well. Yeah. We need to appreciate not everyone wants to go into competition. But for starting, I think there's never any too early stage. You don't have to wait for your jabs. That is a total myth.
Ooh, that's interesting. I never knew that. You don't have to wait.
Not at all. The NHS even tell you if you go on there that you don't have to wait for your jabs or anything like
that.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah, because it is such a nice thing to do with them. And I found when I took mine swimming and they were little babies, they slept so much better. Because I don't know whether the water was calming or knackering or both. But I found the night after they'd been for a swim, they were much easier to put to bed.
Out cold.
It's so good for them. Like, firstly, it's like, even now with Albie, who's 12 weeks old, it's the only time he stays awake. Is going for a swim. It's like in the water. Yeah. He's awake. Everything else we do with him is like passed out in the pram. So it's nice because it gives you that real opportunity to bond with your kids, because they're awake, they're alert, you're holding them. It's kind of like really lovely experience. But apart from that, like you said, it's so good for their development because they get to move so freely in the water, kick their legs, move their arms, whatever. Yeah, it's a great thing to do with your kids. And my daughter absolutely loves it. She more wants to play the natural swim, but that's fine. I'm happy with her playing mermaids and jumping in and finding something off the floor. That's fine.
I remember going on holiday last year or the year before, can't have been last year. And we literally couldn't speak to my daughter because we had a pool where we were, and she was underwater for so long that you actually had to grab her by the swimming costume to say, do you want some lunch? Because you couldn't get those words out because she'd be back underwater.
I remember loving it as well so much, like getting my dad to throw like foreign coins, whatever country we're in, to the bottom, and we had to scoop along and get them. God, it was so
it was the
fun.
Best thing on holiday. I was just like, best used thing. To get to the end of the day and I'd be like prune hands on my fingers because I'd been in the water so long. And it was like, my mum never used to be able to put sun cream on me either, so she just used to throw me a t-shirt I had to wear on holiday because I wouldn't get out long enough to put sun cream on.
It's interesting as well though, because my husband was not taught to swim as a child and is still not a brilliant swimmer, and so he can't understand the joy of it. So whenever I book a holiday, shame. I'm like, I don't care. As long as I've got a pool, don't care. We'll all be fine. And he's like, oh, really? Really? And
you I'm need like, to get him adult lessons, then he'll love
no,
it.
No, I do. But it just shows you, if you gift your child the ability to swim when they're little, like, they'll love it for the rest of their life, won't they?
It's so much like riding a bike, as in you'll never forget it. So even if, like, whatever age that they can swim 25 meters, they then stop swimming. If they want to get back into it in their 20s or whatever, because they want to do a triathlon or masters or kind of just keep fit when they're kind of a lot older, they'll not have forgotten. And that's the beauty of it, is that it's just a skill that is just there. It's always there
forever.
In the background. Yeah.
So what's next for Rebecca? You've launched Baby Stars. What are we doing next?
Obviously, this summer we've got Olympics, which is amazing.
I know. Are you going?
No, because obviously the situation. So we're doing it all from Salford in Manchester.
Okay.
Very, very similar to Tokyo, Salford, obviously. But yeah, no, so doing it from here, which will just be amazing. It'll just be so nice.
Tokyo would be so cool.
Yeah, but you wouldn't see it.
Yes, true.
We interviewed Helen Glover the other day and she can't take the kids with her. And she's finding that really hard because they're only little. They're really little.
Well, you can't take anyone with you. There's no spectators, no fans, no nothing. And it's like, with everything going off, it's like, it's just not that safe as well. So it's just, you just wouldn't do it. And it's just really, really difficult. But at the same time as well, I wouldn't see anything out in Tokyo because we'd have to stay in the hotel. We'd only be allowed at the studio and the hotel. So it's not like you'd even have the opportunity to go sightseeing or do everything. So I'm kind of like, you know what? It's fine. I'm at peace with it.
Yeah. Salford's the easiest, closer.
Exactly.
So at this point in the pod, we always go into our last three questions. And they're always the same for every guest. So don't feel put on the spot. We always ask everyone the same things. Okay. First up, how do you want to be remembered by your kids?
I just want to be remembered as like, that we've spent time together, because I always look back on my mum and dad. I'm like, I can't ever, even though they worked, can't ever remember not being with my mum and dad. like they were, I always felt like we did so many like amazing things as a family. Like we all now look back and laugh at like family holidays and things like that. And I just want to be the same with my kids, that we just spent quality time together and we know each other as well. And that's what I want them to know, who I am, who's Becky, not just mum. I want them to know what I enjoy and what I like, as well as obviously knowing what they like. So,
oh,
that's a nice answer. Yeah.
Much more serious. What's for tea and who's cooking?
Oh, it's always me cooking. Andy, bless him, unless it's beans on toast, we're not getting Andy to cook.
Right.
I didn't even know how to cook a jacket potato, so...
No, my brother-in-law didn't know how to cook a jacket potato either. It's clearly a common thing.
Serious.
I don't understand. Yeah,
what did they think he did with it? It's kind of... The clue is in the baked potato name.
Exactly. Whatever, though. But yeah, no, he cleans up and...
Okay, that's good. We like people who clean up.
And tonight it's just really boring. I'm doing sweet potato wedges with broccoli and some chicken. Really not exciting.
Quite fancy that, actually. Healthy. That sounds really nice. Right. And then the last question, don't hate us, but we ask everybody the same one. Sing us the song you sing to your kids when they won't go off to sleep.
I don't really sing. Is that bad? I've got no music ability in me at all. Andy sings, and Andy always sings to them, like he's really good, but he doesn't even sing a song. He just goes like Albie, I love you, like he just does that, like he just almost like what he'd say to them, he just sings it. He's just like,
that's all it takes.
You go to sleep right now, like he just does it in that way. It's not even like it's a song at all.
It's just me being desperate trying to get them to sleep.
That's literally all it is. And he's got this app on his phone that just goes shh, like this, just to shush all the time. But yeah, apart from that, I just don't sing.
Well, I think it's safe to say you have talents in other areas. Oh, well, it's been lovely talking to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You've answered
all my child swimming questions. So thank you. I feel like you're my child swimming advisor now.
Oh, thank you.
I think your son will like the fact if he can swim 25 metres, he can stop.
I had a chat with someone who knows a little bit about swimming today, and she said you don't have to go anymore.
No, as long as they're safe, and then they'll pick it up when they go on holidays, like you say, it's fine.
Well, good luck with all your newborn life, and good luck with the Olympics. I'm sure it will all keep you very busy.
We shall look forward to watching you in Salford.
Yes, and imagining what it would be like if you were in Tokyo.
Well, it's all green screen, so it's going to picture like we are there. So you'll now know that we're not there. It's just going to seem like we're there.
You know a secret now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you ever so much, Rebecca. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.